Well, a number of years back, my father proclaimed to his children and grandchildren that he was done attending live sporting events. He would still be a big sports fan. He's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he'd still watch all kinds of sports. He would just do it from the comfort of his own easy chair in his own living room with restroom privileges close at hand, unlimited snacks and beverages free of charge, or at least a lot cheaper than at the stadiums. He was done going to live sporting events, and honestly, that came as a great relief to his grandchildren and children. It was a big relief to all of us, because my dad had this annoying habit. When you went to a game with my dad, he always wanted to leave early, because you have to beat the traffic. You can't possibly get stuck in the parking lot. You gotta beat the traffic. So no matter what was going on with the game, he'd want to leave early, and he'd nag you until you essentially submitted and left early. So historical occasions took place where you were on the way to the car and you'd hear the roar of the crowd as an amazing play happened. Or even worse, you'd be on the way home and you'd hear on the radio the unbelievable comeback of the team as they scored run after run in that walk-off homer at the end of the ninth inning to win the game, and you missed it all. And you'd dejectedly watch it later on SportsCenter, watching the highlights going, we were there! We were there and we missed it. We left early and we missed it. We missed out on something amazing. And you had that sinking feeling like you missed it. Everybody else got to be a part of it and you missed it. Some of you may feel that way about Easter. Easter was only 3 weeks ago, and maybe this year you weren't able to be here. Maybe you were traveling or visiting or ill, or maybe you were here, but you were distracted. You were distracted with busyness or other things going on in your life, and it just kind of came and went, just another blink, another holiday, and it's over. And I felt that way a number of years back. The crash that took my mom's life happened just 1 week before Easter. So 3 years ago, Easter didn't happen for me. It just wasn't there. I left and went back to Pennsylvania, and we were helping my dad, and so I just missed it entirely. 2 years ago, the Easter was actually on the anniversary, that one-year anniversary since the crash. It was actually on the same date. And so I missed Easter that year, too, because I was distracted with, you know, how God had gotten us through it and just praising God for all that miraculous grace that he showed us. But sometimes we miss Easter. We just kind of miss it. And we don't get to experience that joy that recharges us and revives us. Well, take heart. The first followers of Jesus, a lot of them missed it too. These two that you heard about on the road to Emmaus, they missed out on that reality of the resurrection that day. They missed it entirely. They missed it. And I think even more so, I think we need to remember that God's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Essentially, God gave them another chance to acknowledge and enjoy the reality of the resurrection. Another chance to come to that knowledge. And I think it's even more important for us as believers not to miss it, but to remember the reality of the resurrection every day. I think if we truly understood that we live on this side of the empty cross and the empty tomb, that amazing reality would encourage us every day. That we have the promises that God has made us. We know they're all yes in Christ Jesus. We know that everything Jesus said is true and that he rose from the dead to prove it. And we know we have nothing to fear in Christ. We have nothing to fear. And we live on this side of the empty tomb. If we remembered that reality in everyday life, can you imagine if that what a difference that could make? That you have the power through Jesus to face whatever's in your day, good or bad, rough or smooth, you have the power to face it in Christ today. When you walk in the reality of the resurrection. That's what we're going to talk about today. Remembering the reality of the resurrection every day, regardless of what the calendar says. Remembering the reality of the resurrection every day. So this morning, if you want to follow along in your scriptures, it's Luke 24, 13 through 35. If you just want to listen, that's good too. It's the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the first section is 13 through 18. They were walking to Emmaus, which meant they were walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They were heading back to their hometown, Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. That would have been too far to commute, so they had been spending their time in Jerusalem because a lot was happening in Jerusalem, right? But now it's that first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday, and they're leaving Jerusalem and heading back to Emmaus. That meant everything was over. They had no reason to stay anymore. They were done. Everything was gone. Everything they had hoped for didn't work out. They were dejectedly walking home to Emmaus. They were no longer going to stay in Jerusalem. Nothing there anymore. Nothing there anymore. All their hopes shattered, all their dreams gone. They're walking 7 miles, talking about all that they had hoped would happen that didn't happen. Can you imagine that? They're done. They're followers of Jesus. They're disciples. We know from the scripture these two were not just strangers in the crowd. They knew Jesus. They had been with him for some time. The scripture tells us that a stranger came up to them and they were prevented from recognizing him. Like, that was Jesus. The risen Christ was walking up to them, but they were prevented from recognizing him by God so they could experience this. They would have recognized him otherwise. They knew his face. They knew his voice. They knew his mannerisms. They knew Jesus. They were his followers. Now, they weren't part of that 12, the apostles. They weren't part of that group. They were most likely part of the 70 or 80 that were kind of the next group out. They had probably been disciples for months, maybe even years. They had followed Jesus. They knew Jesus. We hear in this next section of scripture, they witnessed miracles that he had done. They heard his teaching. These weren't just people in the crowd. They were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. They knew Jesus, but yet they were walking away from Jerusalem towards Emmaus. No reason to stay in Jerusalem anymore. So when this stranger walks up to them, and he kind of says, hey, what are you so dejected about? What are you talking about? They're like, let me tell you. They don't recognize him, but they tell him what's going on. If you looked at verses 19 through 21, the key is the tense of the verbs. Look for the word was. You look for the word was. What they share with this stranger, who is the risen Christ, remember, they share with them, well, it's all about Jesus of Nazareth. See, he was a prophet, a mighty prophet who did miraculous things. He did miracles. He was a great prophet. He was an authoritative teacher. He taught things that were pleasing to God and to humans. He was just this amazing, astounding, authoritative teacher. He was a great teacher. He was a great prophet. Do you hear the disillusionment, the sadness? Even more so as they explain, yeah, but he crossed our religious leaders. Yep, he went up against City Hall and he fought the law and the law won. And it just was this horrible thing where they tried to trap him and it didn't work. And so they sort of brought false charges and they arrested him. And they convicted him in kind of a show trial. They convicted him of blasphemy. And they turned him over to the Romans. And the Romans crucified him. And then the saddest line of all, the most disillusioning, disappointment line of all, they said, we had hoped he was the Messiah who would rescue Israel. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who would rescue all of Israel. But obviously he wasn't. Shrug of the shoulders, game over, time to go home. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who would rescue all of Israel. What caused them to be so dejected? What caused them to be so... Well, they had expectations that were not met. They had expectations that were not met. In fact, they had human-centered expectations. They expected the Messiah to be a military leader, a political hero, who would ride in, like on Palm Sunday, ride in on an amazing wave of popular support, and he would overthrow the Romans, and he would clean out the corruption in the political house of Israel. He would establish the throne of David, and Israel would be a world superpower again. And that didn't happen. The same crowd that cried Hosanna on Palm Sunday cried Crucify just a few days later. Unmet, human-centered expectations had caused them to lose their perspective. They forgot that the Old Testament predicted, yes, a conquering Messiah, but that's end times. That's not what Jesus was. They forgot that the main enemy of humans was not Rome. The main enemy of humans was sin and death. The most tyrannical reign has always been sin and death. The greatest enemy of every single human that's ever lived has been sin and death. And Jesus came to conquer that great enemy. And he did so. But they had lost their perspective. They couldn't see any of that. They were just focused on what they did not get, their unmet human expectations. Have you been there? Maybe you've had your mind set on something and even been praying about it and you had it set a certain way and it didn't go that way. And you lose your perspective, just like they did. They lost their perspective. Well, Brian, you say, maybe they just didn't know about the empty tomb. Maybe they just hadn't heard that Jesus... Read verses 22 through 24. Yeah, they knew about the empty tomb. Verses 22 for 24, they go on to explain to the stranger, some women from our group, other followers of Jesus, they went to anoint his body for burial this morning. That would have been that first Easter Sunday. They went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the grave was empty, the tomb was empty. And then some angels appeared, and the angels said, hey, he is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is risen, he is not here, just as he told you, he has risen. He is risen, he is not dead. And the women, they got all excited, and they came running back to the disciples, and they told our group about the empty tomb. Well, you know, those women, they're crazy. You know, we didn't believe them. So we sent a couple of our leaders, a couple of the men went out to confirm, and sure enough, they found the empty tomb. So they knew all about that, and they still left. They still left because whatever, you know, shrug of the shoulders, whatever. I don't understand the empty tomb. I don't get it, but I know I didn't get what I want. It didn't meet my expectations. Sorry, Jesus, the Romans are still in control, and well, oh well. Going back to Emmaus, they knew about the empty tomb. It hadn't made any difference. They didn't understand. They had lost their perspective. They had lost their perspective. So one, they didn't understand. And number two, they didn't remember that Jesus had predicted this. Jesus had told them on several occasions that, yes, I will be turned over to sinful men. And yes, they will kill me. But no, the grave will not hold me. I will be raised from the dead on the third day. He had predicted all that. And they had their Old Testament to remind them that God would not let his Holy One be in the corruption of the grave. They had that prediction in the Old Testament. They had all of the Old Testament to show that reality, but they just not remembered and they didn't understand because they lost their perspective. They didn't get what they wanted, so they lost their perspective and they just couldn't see anything else. Jesus loves these followers. He loves all of his followers. He loves all people. And he wants to give them a second chance. So if you were following along your scripture, 24 through 28, Jesus gives them that second chance. He explains. He says, oh, foolish ones, let me again. Apparently you just didn't get it. So let me again explain from the prophets, from Moses, from the writings of the Old Testament. Let me explain to you about Messiah. And he explained about himself. He taught them from the scriptures about himself as they walked along. Can you imagine that? He talked to them about the scriptures that applied to him. He shared with them Isaiah 53, which talked about by his wounds we are healed. He talked about the scriptures that are fulfilled through the cross, Psalm 22 and so many others. And he shared with them all those teachings because he loves them and he wants to convince them and reorient their perspective. He takes them back to the proper place of perspective. Whenever you need your perspective adjusted, you go back to scripture. The Word of God always gives us a proper perspective on things. The Word of God will always align us with God's heart and God's priorities, and thus Jesus takes them to the Word, and he shows them through the Scriptures all that was fulfilled in Jesus. Now, I love that, because he could have done some miracles, right? They could have been walking along, and he said, hey, see that stone over there? I'm going to turn it into a camel. That's right. I'm going to Shazam you into believing. I'm going to do something amazing, and you're going to... No, he didn't do that because miracles are meant to confirm faith. They're not meant to create faith. Miracles will never create faith. They're just meant to confirm that Jesus is the Messiah or that this person's the Apostle Paul. Or they're just meant to confirm. They're not never meant to create faith. He could have done a great sermon from his greatest hits, right? He could have said, well, you called me a mighty teacher, an authoritative teacher earlier, so let me just go through the Sermon on the Mount one more time. Maybe you'll get it if I... No, he didn't do that. He could have done that, but he chose not to. He does what we need to do. He goes to the scriptures and he reminds them of what God said in his word. And he points out all this amazing stuff about Jesus in our scriptures. That's what he does. He does the same thing that we can do. Go back to the scriptures, remind yourself who God is, who God has been, and who God will be. Remind yourself of the promises of God that he has kept. And that helps you to trust the promises of God that are yet to come. He takes them back to the Word, and he explains to them all about himself. And as they walk along, they start to get it, and the pieces start to come into place. But they're reaching Emmaus now. They've walked almost 7 miles. They're now at the village of Emmaus. And Jesus, he's not changing lanes to get off the exit ramp. No, he's just continuing on. And they say to him, hey, Jesus, it's getting late. Actually, they don't know it's Jesus yet. So, hey, stranger, it's getting late. Why don't you take the exit ramp and come home with us, and we'll feed you some supper. And so he does. They say, well, let us extend hospitality. We have a nice guest room. We'll feed you some grub. And so he comes to their house. And in the breaking of the bread, did you hear what happened? As he gave thanks and broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. In the breaking of the bread and the giving of thanks, they recognized him. And suddenly they realized who was with them. It's Jesus. It's the risen Christ. He's here. In the breaking of the bread and the giving of thanks. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they had experienced him breaking the bread and giving thanks before. Oh, say at the Last Supper maybe, or at the feeding of the 5,000, or in so many days where he may have given thanks for a meal, broken the bread, and then shared it with his followers. Jesus had done that numerous times. And in those actions and in those words, something clicked for them and their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus disappeared. Mission accomplished. Jesus is gone. Now, he didn't exit out the door. He didn't have to crawl out the window or anything. He's glorified. This is his glorified body, not bound by the laws of time and space like we are or the laws of physics. He just disappeared. He had another place to be. Now, think about that. He didn't have to walk with them on the road to Emmaus. He had a much more effective mode of transportation available. He could have just teleported himself to wherever he wanted. But he chose to walk with them on the road to Emmaus because he wanted that time with them. He wanted that connection and that opportunity to share with them the scriptures. He chose to walk with them. He didn't have to walk. He didn't have to do that. He chose to. That's how much he loves them. In that moment, he disappears. They say to each other, were not our hearts warmed as we walked along and we were believing? Were not we understanding as he taught? And oh my gosh, that was Jesus. He's the risen Christ. He is risen. And notice what they do. They don't just, okay, well, that's really nice. I'm going to go to bed now. You know, that's great. Jesus is risen. Good. I'm going to drink a nice glass of warm milk, watch some TV, and head for bed. That's not what they do. What do? They're transformed. They're changed. If you truly understand and you truly believe, your actions are going to reflect that. Their actions reflect that. They turn around and walk 7 miles back to Jerusalem in the dark on a dangerous road after having already walked 7 miles. They motivate back to Jerusalem. I'm guessing they walk pretty fast. They speed walk back to Jerusalem. They get there and they share with the other followers, Jesus is risen from the dead. And some of them have experienced it too. They've experienced a meeting of Jesus with Peter and Jesus has appeared to them and they celebrate and they remember and they cannot be the same ever again. They now live in the reality of the resurrection. And going forward, we don't know what happens to these two disciples. I wish we did. We never hear of them again. But they're part of a church that changes the world. They're part of a church that transforms the earth for Christ's glory. And the reality is, that's our opportunity as well. If we truly understand the reality of the resurrection, if we truly lived in the reality of the resurrection, those daily struggles, those trials, those things that are in front of you, they can melt away with the power of God on your side. Those mountains that look so huge, they're not going to look so big when you realize God's going to help you every step of the way, and you're not alone. And those difficulties that may come, yeah, they're going to overwhelm you, but you're going to stand firm because you're on Christ the solid rock. And God will take your life and use it for his glory and his purposes and bless you along the way as well. You'll maybe even be able to preach a sermon from memory with only a few hours to notice. That could also happen too. God can do amazing things if we remember the reality of the resurrection and we walk on this side of the empty tomb, that we have that power available to us. So today, reflect on that. Remember that as you go through your week. Don't miss Easter reality yet again. Take this walk forward and remember that each and every day you serve a risen Savior. You have the opportunity to walk in the power of his love and his grace and his hope. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that we do serve a risen Savior.